why the price of oil is falling hard. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. A new International Energy Agency forecast points to low oil prices as a supply glut goes on through at least the first half of next year. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace joins us with more. Lewis, what's going on?
Well, what's confounding the analysts is that even with these low prices, which has been going on for a while, more crude oil than ever is still coming up out of the ground. Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Iraq, Iran are all doing record or near record amounts, and there's the United States still contributing to that. But demand has slowed down, especially in China and India, and that's the dynamic that's keeping prices low. Interesting note, one of the world's largest producers, Saudi Aramco, appears to be bidding to buy a major oil refinery in Houston. So one short-term solution for suppliers seems to be making sure they control production as well.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thanks. There is a global debate raging between American companies and governments in the U.S. and Europe over how to fairly tax global business. It came up yesterday when Treasury Secretary Jack Lew sat down for a conversation with David Brancaccio at an event in Queens College in New York.
The other day, I was on the line with the European Union's head of competition, and she said a certain Cupertino, California-based company that makes the telephone in probably many of your pockets, had an illegally sweet deal from Ireland and ordered Apple to pay Ireland back $14 billion in back taxes. Now, it's true Ireland didn't ask for the money, doesn't want the money, but you don't like that ruling either. Why not?
I understand what's driving the European Commission. They're offended, as am I, that companies can take advantage of tax loopholes and tax havens to reduce their tax bills to very low rates, if not zero. Why am I bothered by what they did? A couple of reasons. First of all, we don't make tax policy retroactively. Reaching back and making tax policy that changes the rules 10 years after is just not the way tax authorities work. Secondly, that revenue should be U.S. tax revenue. It's U.S. income, it should come home, and it should be taxed. And, you know, I'm pretty protective of our tax base. I think that if there is a problem, we should work as the kind of nations of the world together to solve it. We shouldn't be doing things that reach into each other's tax base.
Treasury Secretary Jack Lew with David Brancaccio. We've got video of their whole conversation at marketplace.org. Amazon is trying an unusual experiment that raises questions about work-life balance and potential new ways to work. A few of its teams are switching to 30-hour weeks with less pay than full-time workers but full benefits. Flexible working arrangements where individual employees work fewer hours are nothing new at Amazon or other companies. What's different here is that entire teams will be on 30-hour weeks, from the managers on down. We want to go beyond Amazon and talk about what it could mean if more companies try this kind of arrangement. Bob Sutton is with us. He's a Stanford management professor and author of several books on workplace culture and bosses. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
So what could be in it for companies? Why would a company think about trying an arrangement like this where everybody goes on to a kind of part-time schedule, not just a few employees here and there?
Well, it is interesting. What's in it for companies is that they'll be able to maintain and attract better employees. You have people who probably last longer in terms of their careers in the companies, and they also have more loyalty to the company.
And so what does that mean from the worker perspective? What can be the pros and cons for an employee that may be offered a situation like this? How's that going to work out for them?
So, I mean, the pros are pretty obvious in terms of being less exhausted, being able to attend to other things. The cons, in addition to the loss of money, and we can see this from research, is the status difference. So at a place like Amazon or any other tech company, any consulting firm, any law firm, where you've got people who are working 60, 70 hours a week, and then you've got this group of people who are working 30 hours a week, the first challenge is, well, they might be looked down upon because they're working less hard. And if you look at some of the research that's been done about what happens when people work in places where they work huge number of hours, they actually spend an incredible amount of time frankly, just screwing around and socializing. But that FaceTime gives them a kind of power that people aren't in the office so much lose.
As you look out on the landscape, I mean, do you feel like things are getting better or worse as far as how this work-life balance issue is playing out?
What ends up happening is you end up having these sort of differences between the elites who work a huge number of hours and kind of everybody else. And to me, here's the big test, and this is Adam Grant from the Wharton Business School, who does a lot of stuff with Sheryl Sandberg at Facebook. They basically make the argument that the test is when men take long long sort of childcare leaves, when they start working less hours, then that will sort of send the signal that equality has come. And you have male CEOs, male CEOs have kids, and they take a paternity leave, which is starting to happen in a few cases. Mark Zuckerberg actually did that. That starts sending the message that it isn't just sort of like a thing for women. And I think that's the big test for this Amazon group. The higher the percentage of men who are in it, and the more prestige, if you will, they're treated with, the better the experiment will go for all of us, not just for them.
Okay, Bob Sutton at Stanford University. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Chris Olin, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. And in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.